All right. Well, last week we heard Brother Ted speak on God is immutable. God is unchanging. Amen. And this week we are talking about God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. The word omnipotent comes from the Latin word omnipotens. Omnis equals all, means all, and potens means powerful, all powerful. Omnipotent means all powerful, and it refers to the attribute of having infinite or unlimited power. Infinite and unlimited power. A young boy was traveling by an airplane to visit his grandparents, and he sat beside a man who happened to be a seminary professor. And the boy was reading a Sunday school take-home piece of paper, and the professor thought it would be funny to have a little humor with the boy. He said, "Young man, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you this big, shiny apple." Well, the boy thought about that for a minute, and he said, "Well, mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you the whole barrel of apples." And that's the truth. That's it in a nutshell. God is all-powerful. With regard to God, the word means that He can do all that He has determined to do, and no person or force can hinder Him or oblige Him to do the contrary. To say that God can do all things means that He can do all that is in agreement with His most holy, righteous, and loving nature. He cannot contradict Himself. He cannot be cruel or selfish. He cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. He cannot do the absurd. What do you mean? Well, He can't make square circles. He's not going to have triangles with four corners or rocks so heavy that He cannot move them. Now listen, here's the crux of today's lesson. For the Christian, the omnipotence of God instills absolute confidence. God is powerful to do all that He has promised to do. In contrast to that, for the unbeliever, the omnipotence of God instills terror. Why? Because no man can resist His will or escape His judgment. He is all powerful. In the scripture, a person's name has great significance in that it often reveals something about his or her character. Let's look at Genesis 17:1. Genesis 17:1. Now when Abram was Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." God Almighty. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the what? Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Look at Revelation 19:6. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of a mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the what? Almighty reigns." Look at Psalms. Psalm 24:8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Again, in Psalm 31:2. Incline your ear to hear me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. Psalm 61:3. For you have been a refuge to me, a tower of what? Strength against the enemy. Look at Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Later on in Isaiah 10:21, a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the what? Mighty God. And finally, look at Luke 1:49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So here's the question. Is there anything beyond the power of God? Is there anything beyond the power of God? No. No. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32:17. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." There is nothing beyond the power of God. Now listen, what a comfort to know that even in our most difficult trials that we face in this world, we can rest, or we can have confidence, absolute confidence, because we serve God omnipotent. God is, in the power of God, he is almighty, all powerful. Amen. Look at Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26 says, "And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people, this is impossible, but with God, some things are possible.'" No, that's not what it said, did it? No, that's not what it said. Not some things are possible, but all things possible. Now, some preachers, name it and claim it, will use that out of context. But I want you to key into this, that word possible, because it's leading into the next point. That word possible equals God's will, not our will. Okay? God's will, not our will. One of the most important implications of the omnipotence of God is that it ensures us that he is able to carry out all that he has determined to do, not what Lee has determined to do. Amen. That's right. Ooh. Look at Job 42:1-2. Job 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job recognizes that what? God is limitless. Now, God, I know you can do all things. And no purpose of his, no purpose of his, not no purpose of mine, but no purpose of his, God's will, can never be successfully opposed. Example, Jonah. Jonah needs you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, not going to Nineveh. Lord, Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. Where'd Jonah end up? Nineveh. Where God determined him to be. What about Paul? Road to Damascus. Strikes him down. Lord, is that you? Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? Hey, son, I'm moving you in a direction. Why are you going against me? I'm going to get you there, whether you like it or not. Because why? God is all what? Powerful. He determined it. It is going to happen, whether you like it or not. He's God. We're not. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. I like this. He does whatever he pleases. He does whatever he pleases. Isn't that a relief to you? Really, honestly, because it takes a lot of burden off of us to determine everything that we think we ought to do. We just need to rely more upon God. So Psalms 135 and verses 5 and 6. For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Little g, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and where? In earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. God, simply put, he will do what he has willed to do, just as he willed to do it. He didn't just wake up one day and decide, I think I'm going to do this today. It's a determined plan, a determined will. Why does he do it? Because it pleases him. That's it. It pleases him. Not what pleases us, but pleases him. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. We may not be able to make sense of that through a trial or through a hardship, but God does. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24. Isaiah 14 and verse 24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. Look at verse 27 in that same chapter, Isaiah 14, 27. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his outstretched hand, his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Do you know anybody that can detour the Lord? I don't know of anybody who's greater, because if somebody could detour him, then he's not all powerful. The underlying theme here is his will is going to be accomplished because he is all powerful, just as he planned, so it will stand. I like that rhyme. It's just as he planned, so it will stand. I don't know why I did that. Every time I read that, I said, just as he planned, so it will stand. Have you ever had a project go according to plan? I mean, just perfect. Start and finish. Not me. Because I'm imperfect. Right? But everything God has determined is perfect and goes according to the way he planned it. He willed it. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. All of the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But, I like that right there, but he does according to his will. And in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Are we inhabitants of the earth? Absolutely. Do we will in him? Or does he will in us? He wills in us. No one in heaven or in earth has the power to thwart or hold off God. If God willed it, can anyone stop it? No. No. He is all powerful. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Also, we have ordained an inheritance, having been predestined according to our will or our purpose, who works all things after the counsel of our will. Is that what it said? Okay. What did it say? Having been predestined according to his will or his purpose, and works all things, not some, but all things, after the counsel of his will. It's all about him. We have to get ourselves out of the way to realize that we are not in control here. God has been, is, and will continue to be all powerful and in control of each step and each event in our lives. Period. Period. In the scriptures, the omnipotence of God is one of the attributes that most distinguishes him from the lifeless idols that men are so prone to create. It's an attribute that distinguishes him above anything else that men may worship. Look at Psalm 115 and verses, we're going to go through verses 3 through 8. 3 through 8. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. Look at verse 7 here. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. Why would anyone want to worship anything less than God Almighty? Simply put here in those scriptures, their God is dead. It is an image of a lifeless idol. It can't do a thing. They're powerless. But our God lives. And He is all powerful. Their God can't do a thing. But our God can do all things. Later on, let's look at verse 9 here in that same chapter. Chapter 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. According to the scripture, how should the believers respond to that truth? Trust in the Lord. It's simple. It is so simple. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. God has great implications for the Christian who puts his trust in Him, His will, and His promises. What does the omnipotence of God mean for those who believe? We talked about that giving us absolute confidence. But let's look at this. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning who? You has failed. All have been fulfilled for who? You. Not one of them has what? Failed. Oh. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to be reminded of this truth often. That's me and my weakness. Why? Because my natural instinct is to worry. Okay? I'm a worrier. And so my wife will tell you, I'll ask about, so what are we doing here? So what's this? I got to know all the things that are going on, right? Because I feel like I'm in more control there of something not failing. But when it comes to God's plans for my life, I shouldn't be like that. Has one word that He has spoken failed for you? No. No. I can have peace knowing God has not failed and cannot fail concerning everything in my life. So every time I get to worry, I can go back and circle back and say, you know what? God reminds me, He says, I'm in control, Lee. You're not. Don't worry about that. I've got that situation. You don't need to worry about it. And that's a rest and a comfort to me, and I hope that that's a comfort for you as well. Psalm 121 verses 4 and 5 says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now, no for you, but for me, the bed is where I do a lot of worrying. When I go to sleep, my mind starts thinking, what do I need to do? What about this? What about that? listen, I serve a God who does not sleep. He's taken care of me even in my sleep. He's already determined the plan. I know my God doesn't sleep, and he is the shade. What's that shade mean? He is the shadow. A shadow never leaves you. He is the shadow that never will leave me or you. Look at Romans chapter 8, 31. Because of that, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who do we have to fear? We serve the God all-powerful. Hebrew, El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God Almighty. We serve God Almighty. I love the scripture where it talks about David and Israel was facing the Philistines. And his brothers were hiding. And David's, he's an example of this strength. He says, what are you doing? What are you hiding for? We serve El Shaddai, God Almighty. We need to be reminded of that today. We are oppressed by this world. We are oppressed everywhere you turn. But listen, have rest and confidence because of who we serve. He is all powerful. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Why would I be insecure in what God is doing in my life? God, I just don't know if I have a purpose. I just don't know if I have I'm just a failure. No. If you're a child of God, if you've put your trust in the Lord, he who began a good work in you will complete it. I remember the song by Steve Green. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5 says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Our self-worth does not come from what we think or what anybody else thinks. Our self-worth comes from what God thinks. Our adequacy in this earth comes from our view of God, how he sees us, how we are. My insecureness begins to overtake me. That's what I feel like sometimes. I must remember that I can't produce anything from myself. That's what that verse is saying. And why is that? That is what I call divine design. You say, what do you mean? Well, if I can produce anything in and of myself, why would I need God? Why would I need him? Listen, how could creation have any confidence in creation to do anything rather than the creator of creation? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Why is that by design? Without him, I produce what? Nothing. With him, I produce what? All that he's determined. He is our strength and not we ourselves. God, the omnipotent, the all-powerful. In closing here, according to the following scriptures, the Christian's response to the omnipotence of God should be one of both faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. Look at Romans chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 19 through 20. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now, as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Of course, we're talking about Abraham, right? And he says, I'm as good as dead. My body, I'm looking over my body here, and I'm thinking, man, I'm old and about dead. My wife is barren in the womb. But I like what it says here. I like that. Yet to the respect to the promise of God. That's the key. Yet to the respect of the promise of God, he did not waver. Abraham was simply saying, even though I'm too old and near death, and Sarah is barren in the womb, God, you said it. Therefore, it will be. And he had faith, and his faith increased because of that. Look at Genesis 17:1. This was the very first verse we looked at. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Abram had faith, but then what was the other? Obedience. Faith and obedience. God instructs, we obey. God instructs us, and the measure of our faith sometimes often hinders us. But here we see an example of how our reaction should be in response to God no matter what. God, I see all the issues. Abraham saw all the issues. I'm dead, man. I'm about dead. Sarah is barren. He saw all the issues. However, faith sees the will of God fulfilled. Period. The result, more faith increased to us, and God receives the glory. It's all about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. El Shaddai, God Almighty, God Omnipotent. All right. I hope that was an encouragement to you this morning, as it was to me. let's take some prayer requests quickly. Any prayer requests? I know we need to be praying for Brother Larry. He's still in the hospital, not doing well. I don't know if there's been any change. Not since yesterday afternoon, but... be praying for him and Miss Linda and Teresa, the family. Anyone else?
We have a friend that's in Conway with COVID, and they put her on a vent this last week. Regina Gallagher.
Okay. Brother Steve.
I have a co-worker, Jeff Hurley. He has cancer of the liver and the lower part of his lungs also.
Okay. Okay. Brother Monroe. Yes, please keep him on your prayers. I know he started new chemo this week. I'm not sure if there's any, you know, any information on that, Wade. Miss Gloria, she's not feeling well this morning, so be in prayer for her. and I know we've got others that are out and sick and not feeling well, so. He's not feeling well either, Brother Ted. Uh-oh, Wichita. Wichita got him. All right, anyone else? Let's close in prayer, and Brother James Quinn, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer this morning?